Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our SMB Monday Night Learning Center, or also known as SMB Monday Night Raw, where we are going to be closing out the previous week where we've been talking about being the example and not the excuse. So again, just remember that this is something that we are to be doing each and every day as we walk our walk with Christ. We are to be imitating him and displaying Christ-like character from our thoughts, our words, on down to our actions. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and hand the call over to our leader, Mr. Tully's Carr. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening. I'm doing wonderful. What about yourself?
I am doing great.
Good deal, good deal. Well, I do welcome everybody to the SMB Monday Night Raw. As you know how we always do it, we're going to get it opened up with prayer, and then we can go straight to our email questions and, you know, and just have a great time tonight. So sit back, relax, and Ms. Candy, you can open us up with prayer, please. Hello, Ms. Candy, can you hear me?
Sir? Hello? Hello?
Ms. Candy?
Yes, I can hear you now.
We all bow heads? Can everybody hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We all bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come together again to lift you up, Father, we ask that you open up our hearts and our minds and allow the Spirit to come in for us to receive it, to grow, to feed and feast off of it. May something said be feasted upon and let it manifest 10 times, Father, so that we can live by it. We can use it as a guide and measure, and that others could see the true way, not for us to have any credit or glory, but to give it all to you, Father. And we ask a special blessing for our leader as we are guided, or as he leads us through this session. In your name, say Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. All righty, so let's go ahead and get started. Could y'all hear me the first time?
Yes, I could. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Good deal. All righty, so with that being said, y'all, this is the SMB Monday Night Raw, and y'all know this past week we've been diving into some great information about God, especially when it comes to the topic at hand, and we've been talking about being the example and not the excuse. So, Mr. DJ, go ahead and give your week and review your summary.
Well, if I may be brief, be the example, not the excuse, means that you have to deny tradition. I don't want to call out any holidays or traditions, but you have to deny tradition and do what thus says the word. If you're going to be an example, it's not, how can I put this? It's not necessarily going to be easy. But if you go strictly by the word, you shouldn't have any problems at all. All of us have excuses. Everybody has a something that we could point out that will cause a crutch. But that's not who we are. That's not even in our DNA, if you will. What I gathered from it was, again, to simply deny tradition and just simply do what says the word.
Good deal, good deal. All righty. So, Mr. DJ, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Now, tonight, y'all, we have with Mr. DJ, we have Miss Tiana Simmons. Miss Tiana, how are you?
Doing great, sir. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. Are you prepared?
I'm ready, sir. Let's do it.
You ready for Mr. DJ? So, y'all, the format, the way in which we do it, is that we have email questions, and we have Miss Tiana as the guest and Mr. DJ. He's a sit-in. He's a stay on Monday night, and we just go in and really dissect these questions and give, you know, not politically correct answers, but answers that God would approve of to the best of our ability. All right? So just sit back, and if you have any questions, please press what they need to press.
Star five.
So press star five if you may have a question. It can be simple. It can be small. It can be ginormous, if you will. And we'll get to those questions. All right? So as always, here we go with the first email question. I'm going to start with our guest, Mr. DJ. So, Ms. Tiana, listen up. Okay, the question says, I am a social worker who works with troubled kids at a juvenile detention center. How can I effectively be an example of Christ when the individuals that I am mentoring are never accepting of the Christ-like, and loving behavior that I display?
Great question. I would need to know more about that Christ-like loving behavior, because sometimes we take Christ-like loving behavior to be, lack of better words, soft in our display of our love to individuals. And sometimes it takes that next step, which is the accountability. The love that we are to bestow, as it says in God's word, his word is to be used for correction, for rebuke. And that's where we have to go. When we're in a situation where kids in juvenile detention, it's typically because they maybe did not receive the kindness, the respect, nor were never held accountable for their actions. So take it to that next step, ensuring that accountability, one, setting expectations, and two, holding the young kids accountable is the number one thing that you must do. And in doing that, your love will come through.
All righty. Mr. DJ, same question. Do you need me to repeat it?
Yes, repeat it, please.
Okay. The question states this. Everybody listen up, okay? This is the question. It says, I am a social worker who works with troubled kids at a juvenile detention center. How can I effectively be an example of Christ when the individuals that I am mentoring are never accepting of the Christ-like and loving behavior that I display?
First of all, you can't let that be an excuse. They're in detention because they did something. They're in detention because they failed to do something else. So you need to first meet them on a level in which you guys can relate without doing anything non-Christ-like. But you still need to be able to meet them on a specific level. That's the only way that you're going to reach them. Christ's teachings are not forceful. If that was the case, many of us have been knocked out a long time ago. Christ is always there for you with open arms. He doesn't force his love upon nobody. He doesn't beat you over the head and say, hey, come on here. Okay, so I'm with Ms. Tiana. There's a way in your Christ-like behavior. What are you calling Christ-like behavior? You have to meet them on a specific level and then gradually bring them to where they need to be. When a person is out there in the world, you can go out there and do specific things, but that doesn't mean you're going to be successful.
Right.
And this personal experience, I know guys that, and some preachers now, they used to sell drugs. I mean, while they out there in the dope trap, they don't want to hear come to Jesus.
Right.
Now, one of their homies gets shot. Something happened to their money, or they're going to ask you to pray. And they may even send money to the church, but they're not going to come to Christ. That's where God is involved. The more you lift him up in front of them, let God take care of that. You shouldn't be trying to do that because you're going to fail at it every time. But if you meet them at a certain level, at the right place, at the right time, with the right equipment, you will get them to concentrate. And God, let God take care of the rest of that. He will draw them to him.
So, Mr. DJ, let me ask you a question with that answer, because that was very sufficient. You said when you lift God up in front of them, please explain what is lifting God up what does it look like tangibly? I mean, without being so spiritually articulate, break that down to me naturally. I mean, to the gristle bone.
When you lift God up in front of them, you have to first put up, if you will, a virtual mirror where they can see themselves and the error of their ways, or see why does it make sense for them to continue going down this path. Show them a little slight hand of future and basically logic, common sense. You keep being out here with these drugs and these guns, you will get shot. You have no insurance. You can't even go take care of a toothache, brother. What are you doing? So you have to physically break it down for them and show them, and then show them a different way. Well, hey, man, I see that you're doing this, this, and this, and this. What's the real reason? What's the purpose for you doing this? You know, when you put God in their face, you have the strength enough to tell them, hey, brother, I'm going to just pray for you. I know you're going to go down that street, and you know you shouldn't, but I'm gonna, let me pray for you before you go down there. That's showing them God right there. I know you do criminal things, and that's what you do. I wish you would come with me over here instead of going over there. So I'm gonna still pray for you, man. I'm still here. You know, don't turn your back on them, so to speak. Let them know that, you know, God is always here for you and that there's a better way.
Correct. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Y'all, and, you know, thank you for that explanation, Mr. DJ, because someone needed to hear that, and that's very important that we do understand that when we are being the example, and like Mr. DJ said, it's not forceful. Okay? Like the response that Ms. Tiana gave as well. You know, God wasn't forceful when we started to get ourselves together. Okay? So as much as we want people to be saved because we have become saved, we can't force it on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? An example is never forced on anyone. Okay? But what an example does is it withstands the test of time. When everything else minimizes and diminishes, an example of God, the glory of God is set out, it's set apart, it's holy. Holy means to be set apart. It's set apart. That means it never loses its shine. It never loses its luster. It's always authentic, no matter what's thrown its way. As a matter of fact, being the example and lifting God up looks something like this. If I know, you know, Timmy is down the street selling drugs and doing what he's doing, and when I do run across Timmy, I'm not going to beat him up with the word of God. Being the example is talking to Timmy, because Timmy is going to be wondering, why is this person who over here that everybody knows they ain't God talking to me?
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus did. Y'all do read the book of Matthew. Well, the book of Matthew was a tax collector. In other words, Matthew was the eyeball out. He shouldn't have been one of the 12 disciples according to man. But Jesus is the example, so we should follow it. But Jesus didn't go and shake Matthew's hand to be buddy-buddy. Jesus had a bigger plan for Matthew. Matthew just didn't know it.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Okay. Even when dealing with Timmy down the street, i.e. Matthew, what you have to do is you got to get on Timmy level. So you have to say stuff like, oh, man, I know it's hard out there, and I know, you know, the odds are not in your favor of getting a job and things like that, you know. But let me ask you something. Is there something else that we can do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's hard, man, because I can only imagine, and you're right, Timmy, I'm not in your shoes, and I have a job. You're right. And that's why I'm empathizing with you, because I'm telling you, I know it's hard out there. I done already got on his level. See, examples reach down and scoop up.
Mm.
See, you can't be an example and you haven't, Lord. The Bible said, come let us reason together. You cannot be an example and you can't be reasonable with people. If you can't reason with them, to reason meaning to understand them and let them understand you. Timmy, I know it's hard, man, and I know people don't want to see you get a job. I know you didn't apply for several. But, Timmy, man, the option of you selling drugs on the corner and using drugs, man, you understand you got a family. Timmy, it's something else we can do, though, something, man. Let's put our head together.
Amen.
Now Timmy said, why are you invested in me?
Right.
Y'all didn't hit me, did you? Because to reach out to someone, you have to get on their level. You have to get on their level. As a matter of fact, Jesus was an example on earth. Had he stayed in heaven, would you believe him? I ain't talking to the super spiritual people. I'm talking about to the real people. Would you believe him? Because a super spiritual will have a politically or spiritually correct answer and say, yes, I would. And I would challenge that, but it's not that type of call. Would you believe God if he stayed in heaven? Or would you believe God when he say, I know what it is to be a woman, Tiana? I know what it is, DJ, to be a man.
My Lord.
Every ailment that you done been through, as a matter of fact, when I was on the cross, I experienced that, DJ.
Exactly.
Tiana, I know what you're going through. I didn't experience that too. But here's the thing. Look at me. I overcame it. It didn't feel good. It didn't look good. Some would even say it was hard. I don't say it was hard. See, with me being the example, it's never hard because I know the Bible, and I enforce the Bible. See, when people get to the conclusion that living for God is hard, people never want hard things. They want easy things. This is why they turn to the world. But I urge you not to, because I didn't, and I'm your example. See, living for Christ is not hard. Anybody say that living a Christian life is hard, that is somebody who's not operating in the Spirit. Because I tell you, I have spoken already as your example. I said that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Translated, the life of Christ is not hard. See, DJ is hard to get along with to Miss Tiana if Miss Tiana don't like DJ. That's the same individual, but he's easy to get along with Mr. Carr. See, the example is this. The flesh and God are in enmity one against the other. They don't like each other. They do not agree. So Christians, whenever you say Christians, whenever you say Christians, whenever you say that living a life of God is hard, you are not operating in the Spirit. You are operating in the flesh. Because if it is hard, then you're counterproductive, and you come up against his word, and he's true, and he's honest, and he cannot lie when he says, life for me is easy, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So anybody want to say that the life of God is hard again?
Okay.
It's hard because it don't give you what you want, flesh. That's your flesh talking. So when you say, you know, I know it's hard to live for God, that is not the example you should be setting. Because you're telling people you're operating in your flesh. Because God, Jesus, show me the example where he ever said it was hard to live for you, God.
Mm.
So, Timmy, it ain't hard. And I understand, I empathize with you, but I got to correct you. Because, see, I can love you and not agree with you. Timmy, it's not hard. Because, see, it's just like when you have a job and you love your job. Lord, have mercy. Thank you for revelation. Look at these questions, y'all. When you love your job, it's no longer a job.
That's right.
When you love your job, y'all didn't catch it. It's no longer a job. Jesus, baby, Jesus said, why do you worry? When I was about my father's business, business mean work. When I was about my father's work. See, he was an example. In other words, when you love what you do, Christ, Christians, it's no longer hard. If you're working for God and you love God and you love what you do for God, how is it hard? Uh-oh.
That's right.
So should we question our love or should we make excuses? I think that's interesting, y'all. Okay?
It is.
All right. Let's get to our next question, Miss Candy. What you got?
Okay, Mr. Carr. The question that I have is there ever a time when excuses are acceptable?
Okay. You want me to chime in, Mr. Carter?
Yes, Mr. DJ.
Okay. I say no. Not when you're dealing with God. There are no excuses. When you're in the Spirit, when you are dealing with God's Word and His works, there are no excuses. He didn't make any excuses for us. He's done all the suffering. like what you just got through saying, and if I could summarize, take a chance. The fight is fixed. He's done all the hard work. He carried that cross. He bore all of our sins. So, no, there are no excuses. You do what you're supposed to according to God's word and leave the rest up to him. You're not him. Don't try to be him. So, no, there are no excuses. Right by any means necessary, no. Righteous by any means necessary, yes. But there are no excuses. I don't think there are any. No, I don't think any excuse. There is a time where excuses are acceptable.
Okay, okay. Miss Tiana, what about you?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, I go back to the definition of an excuse, which is an attempt to lessen the blame, attaching to fault, to seek to defend or to justify. There's no need to seek to defend or to justify. One of the scriptures we went through this week in Romans told us that he called us, and those whom he called, he also justified. So if God has justified us, we don't need an excuse of justification. An excuse is a sin. It's wrong. It's trying to come up with a reason why something wasn't done, was done, etc., instead of the truth. So it is never a time when an excuse is acceptable.
Ain't that something? Excuses, excuses, excuses. Excuses are never acceptable. Hmm? One may give an explanation. And it's all about the content of the one delivering the question or the one that's holding something accountable. Because if someone asks you, so why did you do it, and you take the stance, I'm talking to the mature crowd now. If you take the stance, I'm talking to the mature crowd. If you take the stance and say, you know what, I'm just not going to give you an explanation. Don't worry about it. It is what it is. I just did it. That's stubborn. If they're asking you for an explanation, I think it's very important that you explain to them why, because maybe they're trying to backtrack to get you to understand you shouldn't have done this, that, and the other. But typically, we don't like accountability. So there's a part of us that says, I know that excuses are not acceptable. But there's a part of us who gets so stubborn and go overboard and says, even when they ask, even if God say, you know, why? Y'all know God asks a lot of times, why? Huh? Huh? Come on, y'all. He asked Peter. He said, why do you doubt?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He's walking on water. That means, Peter, talk to me. Now, it's a rhetorical question. He knows the answer.
Right.
Ask the question so that Peter can say it out loud. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, so you know that your faith, what you're about to say, is not established in me.
Mm.
A lot of times, before you send a text message, read it out loud, and then you correct your grammatical errors.
Amen.
So true.
Now, that's what a text, before, when you pray, don't just pray in silence. Go ahead, open your mouth. The time your prayer closet, open your mouth. Talk to God. Let the air spirit in your house, in your closet know what time it is. When you get excited, don't you? When you're watching the Golden State Warriors, okay, LeBron James, okay, Dwayne, whoever you're watching that you like. Now, don't you get excited? Everybody watch New Edition? Didn't y'all sing along? Or did you just sit on your hands? And so when God poses the question, why? Don't be so stubborn and just say, you know what? Don't worry about it. I ain't going to say, you know why. No. No, 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 no. See, excuses are never necessary. It's not a time where you ever need them. But if your boss, since a lot of us respect money more than God, right? I know we ain't going to say that, but you know. If your boss, the one who signed your check, say, why did you come late? Guarantee you start opening your mouth with some explanation. Because you're trying to soften the blow. But would you be so stubborn? The only time you wouldn't explain yourself to somebody is when you don't either, one, respect them, or two, you ready for them and you to part ways.
Hmm.
Anybody ever been in a relationship and you don't give no more excuses? Yeah, you did wrong. And you said, when they asked you why you did it, and you just say, I just did, you know what you're doing is putting them beneath you? Because you're saying you don't owe them an explanation.
Well,
y'all see how this can go both ways?
Yes, sir.
The question. What was that question again for me?
The question was, is there ever a time when excuses are acceptable?
Huh? So to answer that, excuses, explanation, excuses. Excuses are never acceptable, but explanations are. You need to explain why you did what you did. Because somebody very well may not know why you did it. And they need to know. As a matter of fact, the reason why your banks have so much good security, they took the criminal who broke in them, debacled them, they took them and gave them less time to say, explain how you did this.
Yes.
See, y'all, it's something about explanation versus an excuse. Lord have mercy. Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nation can
That's
get
right.
you to the point of where you don't go back again.
Learn. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
An excuse busts the door wide open, Mr. DJ, and you want to revisit that, especially if Mr. DJ didn't trick Miss Candy. If that excuse works, shoot, I got a couple of more.
Mm-hmm.
Don't partake in the excuse-making thing. That's not a good look. They're never necessary. But if somebody so desires an explanation as to why, it's easy and it's good to explain yourself, whether it be good or bad. As a matter of fact, God explains himself. It's called the living epistle, meaning the example. The example is self-explanatory. And then if they don't understand heaven, God, what you going to do, God? Well, I'm going to send Jesus. What Jesus going to do, God? Well, Jesus is going to create something called a parable. What is a parable, God? Something that's an explanation to their level of understanding. My God.
Amen.
Because without a parable, you know, the rich young ruler, without a parable in the field, without a parable, you would have no explanation and no understanding as to why. The Bible said all you're getting, get an understanding. What you think explanations do? So don't confuse an explanation with an excuse. Because somebody will be so smart, y'all know when we get mad and we really be trying to straddle the fence, Miss Candy, when we get mad, what we'll start to do is making excuses and calling, well, I'm just telling you the truth. And we think that our excuse is an explanation, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
If the person, listen to me, if the person didn't ask for an explanation, don't give them one, because your excuse is going to worsen the problem.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we, Lord have mercy,
mm-hmm.
this Monday Night Raw, y'all. You know, sometimes we get beside ourselves, and we want to justify ourselves. Huh, Mr. DJ? This is what we do, right? And somebody can be talking to you. Somebody can be talking to you, correcting you, chastising you, and you got to open your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, people. You know what that is? It's pride. Well, let me get my point across. You're saying, let me get my explanation, but actually you're trying to get your excuse across. The person is angry because something didn't happen. So they didn't ask you. If God didn't ask you to speak, why are you speaking? I know we don't like that. I know we don't like it. But that's called submission. Submitting.
That's right.
That's called submitting. But that pride in us raises up so much, and we think that we're doing it in an articulate and nice way. I'm going to let them finish, and then I'm explaining. If they didn't ask you for an excuse, ask you for an explanation, it's best that you zip it, because what you have already done is self-explanatory. If y'all think I'm lying, the Bible says, let your good not be evil spoken of. Then why is the person chastising you if it looked like it's righteous? The Bible says, let your good not be evil spoken of. If y'all called in last night, y'all remember who he told, Abram? Yeah. He said, walk before me blameless. In other words, he said, walk, not talk. Oh, Lord, I don't think y'all heard me. He said,
yes.
See, examples, walk. Excuses, talk. But then we say walk the walk and talk. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Even the world got this one down, Miss Latonya. They said what's understood don't need to be explained. Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yes,
that means my actions speak louder than my word. Whoa. God reiterated. God said it first. God said, Abram, walk before me blameless. In other words, nobody shouldn't think your deeds are evil.
Right.
Yeah.
But those who have borderline, you know, we borderline with that thing, we're trying to explain it to justify it, but you don't have to justify something that is self-explanatory. Miss Tiana, I don't have to justify that I love you. See, if I have to justify it to Miss Latonya, I must not be giving a good example of love. If I got to explain it to that lady, I'm not doing a good job, Mr. DJ. Mr. DJ, when I say I love you, if I got to explain to somebody that I'm not gay, I'm not doing a good job. I don't have to explain to them. They can think what they want to think, no disrespect. They can think what they want to think because I know that my love is shown in brotherhood.
That's right.
But when we have to make excuses, that means y'all must have saw Mr. DJ and Mr. Carr holding hands when it's funny type of stuff. Oh, see, now we got to make excuses. Oh, no, no, we wasn't holding hands. We was actually singing the song. See, now you got to explain some stuff.
Yeah.
Y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, good deal, good deal. All right, let's go ahead. What one of my callers is? What are my callers? Let's get a caller question. What we got?
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question or comments this evening.
Okay, the question that I have is, as a newcomer in Christ and a recovering addict, I'm working hard to show my kids who have little to no faith in me and no belief in God that I'm moving forward and on the right track because of him. So how can I be an example to them and teach them how to believe and have faith in God again?
Ms. Tian, I'm going to start with you.
Great question. You continue what you're doing. It took them a while to get to a point of not believing in you due to, as you said, the addictions that you had. At the same time, as you're making the change to walking in Christ, then you've got to show that and be consistent with it day in and day out, so that they can see what we just talked about, Mr. Carr, walk the walk. It's not talking it, because until they see the actions come through, sometimes that's one of those things, seeing it to believe it, is what they're looking to you to build that trust again. So keep walking the walk and keep believing in Christ, because if you put it all on him and trust in him that he's going to continue to provide for you what you need to show your kids, he will do so and allow for them to see the him in you.
Good answer, good answer. Mr. DJ, what about you?
I feel like you're a living example. You weren't born a drug addict. It took you some time to get into that, just like you are in recovery or have come away from being an addict. That ain't nothing but God. I mean, you're the living example. Continue doing what you're doing and walking in the Word and have them walk with you. Invite them to walk with you so that you won't slip again. That's one way to get them involved in Christ with you as you walk on your journey to recovery.
Mm.
And that way you'll stay on the path. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. You can show me the biggest Baptist preacher and I'll show you somebody that is still subject to sin and has something that they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So none of us are perfect. It depends on what your affliction or affiliation or addiction is. I mean, you may not, you know, be into drugs, but this person may curse too much. This person might be into pornography. This person might be in alcohol or something else. This person might be in infidelity. There's several. There's more than one sin. So you let them know, you know, don't judge and keep everything open so that they can openly see God. Sometimes we want to mess up and we don't want to show nobody. We don't want nobody to know. That's exactly when God bring you through that thing. That's what they need to know, the entire process. You know, there's something that, Mr. Carr, you mentioned called pride. That gets us in trouble so much. I don't know what's wrong with us, but where we think one piece of dust is better than another piece of dust. We all are God's children. I'm just saying, I don't know what's wrong with us. Why we even have to look at it that way? You're my brother. I'm not going to get mad at you because you got a bigger house than me. Go for it, man. Hey.
Come on.
You know, and I'm the type of person, if I'm settled in mine, I don't need yours. I have a two-bedroom townhome. If I had enough money to have me a mansion, I wouldn't want it. It's just me. I'm not trying to, I'm just saying, yo, what God has for me, it is for me. That would erase pride right there.
Mm-hmm.
What he has for me, it is for me. It may not be for you. You may want a big house. I'm not knocking people with big houses and lots of money and all. That's fine. That's good. But what's for me is for me. And when it comes to somebody's recovery, we all stray off the path. That what makes you whole again is the fact that you can come back to the path. Because everybody don't make it back. So what you need to do is maybe have your kids see that. Let them know, yes, that's exactly what I was. The key word was, past tense, not what I am. So, you know, just continue in the word and make sure they're there for the entire recovery process so they can see a living example of what God is.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good deal. Thank you so much, Mr. DJ. Carla, can you repeat the question one more time?
Sure. One second. Okay. It says, as a newcomer in Christ and a recovering addict, I'm working hard to show my kids who have little to no faith in me or God that I'm moving forward and on the right track because of him. How can I be an example and teach them how to believe and have faith in God again?
One of the things that you said was you're working hard to show your kids. Y'all, a lot of Christians fail at this error, this point right here. Stop working hard to show other people and work hard to prove yourself to God. The Bible says, show thyself proved. Who are you showing yourself to?
God.
Hmm? Study to show thyself approved. Who are you showing?
God,
right?
To God.
Sometimes we work, Mr. DJ, to please Miss Tiana. Miss Tiana, we work to please Mr. DJ. Then we work to please Mr. Carr. Then Mr. Carr work to please you all. See, when you stop taking tea, y'all already know when we get delivered from self and people, we good.
Amen.
I got to bring the thing full circle. Don't forget the word of God. Use the word of God. So now when we get delivered from ourselves and people, now I'm no longer working to please you. See, when you please God, you will find favor. Y'all got to use the word. Come on now. When you please God, you find favor with people. Favor don't come in the form of a smile all the time. It may come in the form of hate. But the favor is this. They're going to use your example.
That's right.
Do you not understand some people hate you, but you have favor with them? You might say, Mr. Carr, that's an oxymoron. How is that possible? Do y'all remember Pontius Pilate? He didn't like Jesus, but for some reason, he couldn't put his hands on Jesus. He let the people do it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yes.
Something about the aura, the presence of God. But, Mr. Carr, what about the people? How did they have favor? Hmm? They didn't have favor. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the end of the story. Yes, Lord. I bet you when he rose again, y'all didn't. He was rose again, they had favor.
Come on.
They had soldiers to head down. The same ones who just put him on the cross. So stop working to please and show your kids. But when you work unto God, God will see, when you work for somebody, they tell you what to do and how to do it and how long to do it. So when you're working for God, you're working for perfection. And perfection is going to place you where you need to be. You just have to trust the process. You got to trust him. So when you're working, you become an example without even knowing it.
Amen.
Anybody, when you got full-fledged in sin, you ain't even know that you was in sin that deep until you look back what you used to do versus what you now do.
Amen.
Sin operates like that, how does righteousness operate? See, start focuses on who you work for and watch you start to progress. Some people don't know how to handle something called success. The reason why they don't know how to handle success is because they become comfortable with increase. In other words, when you work unto God, y'all know how many times Miss Candy hears, how many times Miss Tiana hears, you know, Sunday morning breakfast doing a great thing. I'd be like, you know, don't thank me, thank God. I don't have time for compliments. You know why? Because my work is not complete.
Amen.
No disrespect to nobody, but I ain't doing nothing. Give the glory to God, not me. I'm a laborer. Talk to boss man. Because what'll happen is you start to get beside yourself. Ooh, Mr. DJ, I just love how Mr. DJ talk. Now, you're supposed to be the laborer, Mr. DJ. You're taking credit for something that the master told you to do.
That's right.
God. Your work, if you're working to show your kids, you're about to start taking credit for something that God said do. I know you're a recovering addict, and Mr. Carr, shouldn't we celebrate? Celebrate what? When you get it right, you finally there. You back on track. You haven't accomplished nothing. Success is when you make it to heaven. Nothing before. A recovering addict, that means you know where your stronghold is. You think that the devil's going to give up. That's all I want to know. Anybody ever left something alone and went back to it? I got my hands raised. Toes too.
Yes, indeed.
Y'all see what I'm saying? So make sure that you're, even when you're recovering, that you focus so much on God, huh? To where not only your kids, but people beyond your kids can see the example that God called you to be. Now, Mr. DJ made a great point, y'all. He said, none of us are perfect. I know some of y'all said, shoot, let him speak for himself. You know, I'm just messing with y'all. Have a little humor. But, DJ mentioned that a lot of times we don't want people to know our error. I'm paraphrasing, okay? We don't want people to know what we've done wrong. Mr. DJ, I agree with you to a certain extent. This is why we have these calls. That's not to say that he's wrong. I said to a certain extent. The reason why I say to a certain extent, as we talk about being an example, a lot of people, you cannot show them that you're wrong because they will take that, and that's all they need to know is that you've done wrong so they can go out and it empowers them to do wrong. So now, all of a sudden, when a parent tells a child, yeah, when I was your age, I did this, that, and other, but look at me now, they're going to look at you now and say, well, shoot, when did you get it right? At the age of 30? So I'm only 18. I got 12 years to keep on acting a fool. Come on, y'all. Let's tell the truth. Hmm? Because that's a kid or anybody who is immature. That's the bat they swing with. As soon as you say, oh, I've done that wrong too. So you got to be careful. The Bible says we must rightly divide the word of God. In other words, you don't have to tell them everything because what you tell God don't tell you everything.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Tell somebody all your flaws and your errors. They may not ever respect you. So you got to know who you're talking to. See, I can tell Mr. DJ my errors because Mr. DJ, he knows what a godly judgment is and he's mature. But I might not be able to tell old Jimmy over there because Jimmy can use that against me and say, y'all don't know him. He done told me all the stuff he done did wrong and that's all he's going to thrive on.
Mm.
So it's not that I'm trying to hide anything, Some people, up until the point of they're mature, see, when you're a parent, you don't tell them babies how they get there. They're not mature enough to handle that. When they get in their 30s, see, my daughter, when she get in her 40s, then I tell them.
Right.
But what I'm saying is they're not mature enough to handle that. Because they're going to take your error as gospel, and they're not in God, meaning they have yet to mature. They're still on spiritual milk. They're going to take your error as gospel, and they're going to have freedom now. Because what you have just said to them, an immature person is, okay, I have messed up. They think that they can play Russian roulette. That means I got time to get it right, too. So that means I can keep on messing up and keep on messing up. As a matter of fact, that's why so many people still say, but God ain't through with me yet. That's why so many people say, ain't nobody perfect. You know why? What they're saying is that we all have sinned. Yes, you got that part of Scripture right, but the Bible also says we ought to be perfect. A lot of times when you expose your wrongdoing to people who are not mature, they think it gives them freedom to also go act bad, because look at you. You act bad all your life and you saved, so now I can act bad and I'll get saved too at some point. Mm. And God is a right now God. They didn't know that part of it. So just because mom and daddy did it when they was young don't mean that God will let you get away with it. Uh-oh.
Right.
Uh-oh. Favor ain't fair. Uh-oh.
No better.
Reality. Y'all see it?
Yes, sir.
That's the reality. Yes, do y'all see it?
Yes,
sir.
Okay. So that's very important. Great points. Great points. Great points, both of you. Okay, do we have any more questions on this evening, Ms. Candy?
Yes. Yes,
okay,
Ms.
Let's
Clark.
Get to it. What we
do
got?
have someone else that wants to chime in.
Yes, of course. Come on.
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question or comment this evening.
Hey, good evening, everyone. The question I have for tonight is actually similar to the one that was just asked. It says, excuse me, if we've been a negative example, what's the best way to restore the situation for those who saw the example that was ungodly?
Great question. I'm going to start with you first, Mr. DJ.
Well, again, that's where I would say if you've been the negative example, then who better to meet people on a negative level than one of their own that has been there? So that's why I said, you know, you can better relate the situation. You can say, hey, man, I was right there with you. I was right there robbing and thieving with you. I know what you're doing. I know what you're going through. That's not the right way to do it. So as to your point, Mr. Carr, everybody can't handle that. You have to be mature in receiving that. But it's very important, very, very important to those who have saw you negative for you to show them your positive.
Oh, come on, come on.
And what do I mean? And what I mean by that, you have people in the Bible and other places with affliction. Man was on the bed, and I was told that he was there for so long, he just wanted to see Jesus. And that man was on the bed. He couldn't move. He was afflicted. And this is, I'm paraphrasing as well, but he couldn't do anything but just be on that bed. But he had something called friendship, brotherhood, sisterhood. He had friendship, and those friends tore the roof off the place just to lower him down.
Come on.
Yeah. So that he could see Christ. And you know, all these people waiting in line saw them carry that man in there. But guess what? When he came out, he was toting his own bed. He came out walking with the friends. So, again, there wasn't an excuse. There wasn't an excuse at all. That was an example. And that's why I say you can be a living example. But in order for you to be an example, for anybody to learn anything, they have to first be receptive and willing to listen. So if you got an immature person that's not willing to do that, then no. No, you don't go there with them. You have to come at them at another level. And you'll know when it's time to be that example and let them know.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you know, you have to be that negative. It's very, very important for you to let them know, hey, I'm one of you. I used to do this. I used to do that too. But that's not it, man. Hey, we don't need to do that. We don't need to go down that route. That leads to trouble. You know, not that you're sitting up all high and mighty and just try to talk at them, which you're not going to reach them. But you have to find that level upon which you can get down, not seeming as if you're above them, but on that level. And then once you get off your knees, you pull them up with you so you all can stand up together. That's all I'm saying.
All right. What you got, Miss Tiana?
That's a great response. What I would add to it is that piece of ownership and just speaking that. The question, if I'm not mistaken, was what do you do when they've seen you do wrong? And you own it. You apologize for it, that this is definitely, especially when you know it's out of character, and you don't do it again, because they have to see that. Once again, live an example, see that change, see that was in error, but at the same time, ask for that forgiveness, because how many times does a man fall? But you also can get back up and walk the right way. So show that expectation that no matter how we do wrong, you're there with them the same way that you got up and made that change, that you're there with them to support them in the same kind of way. So ownership, forgiveness, and walk with them in the correct way.
Good deal. Good deal. Mr. DJ, Ms. Sienna said, y'all both said some great points. Mr. DJ, you said about the living example. That's very important, y'all. Very important. The question that was posed was said, it says, if we've been a negative example, and particularly saw something, what's the best way to restore the situation? The Bible says, when you see your brother in error, go to them in love and restore them. Yep. Now, if you see someone in error, you go to them in love. But also, if you see yourself in error, you have to address yourself. Go to yourself in love and restore. What restores? What restores? Look at the word restore and what precedes it. What went before it? It said love. Go to them in love. God is the only thing that's in the business of restoration. Our restoration business was, you know, we tried to restore some bad relationships and some things that we did wrong a long time ago, and that messed us up.
Yep.
You just said a living example. The Bible says faith without works is
dead.
Okay. So that means faith with works is
alive.
Okay. So a living example would include your faith, which is found in God, and what God tells you to do. When he says works, that means who's the boss? That means he's telling you what to do. You don't have to think.
That's right.
Y'all got it? Very important. If you've been a negative example, you also got to correct it. Don't say, well, I don't care who I done messed. No. You must care. The reason why you must care, because you just influenced something. And see, the Bible now declares that you are accountable for every soul. If a wise man wins souls, an unwise man loses them.
Right.
Okay? That means the blood is on your hands. In other words, your negative example, everybody that you was a negative, as much as you can, you need to go out and be that positive example, not by what you say, not by telling people you're now saved, but by how you live, being a living example. Because then people are going to say, Tiana, what thing got into you?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you so kind?
Mm-hmm.
You used to snap at your ex. All of a sudden, you defending your ex?
Mm-hmm.
DJ, hold on. You used to be... Oh, this ain't the same DJ, Tiana. Not the same DJ that we know.
Okay.
And he don't have to say a word. But what he's doing is he's being the living example of change. It's not that he's being holy. It's just the fact that, see, holiness comes with love. So love knows how to get on people's level.
That's right.
Jesus said, don't tell them who I am. So if he told you not to tell them, He sure didn't tell him. So in other words, I don't have to say I'm holy. I just need to live it.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Okay.
You know how hard that must have been, Mr. Carr? If I'm walking with Christ, what? You're not going to touch him. You ain't going to say nothing. Oh, Lord. I'm just saying, as humans, you know, if you are Christ, and then here comes some clown trying to preach about you and telling me all about you, you think I'm not going to say nothing to be like, hold up, man, do you know who this is? You know, I'm just saying that's how we, you know, how we are here. Those disciples, boy, those were some different set of rules to walk with him.
Do y'all see what Mr. DJ said? Now, here's his thing. And even though he led into this, Miss Tiana, he said the disciples walked with him. What are we doing? See, here's the thing. If you're walking with God and you know the disciples was walking with Jesus and didn't even know who he was, they knew him as a teacher. That's what they knew him of. But they knew him as a healer. Oh, Lord, they did not know who he was. Lord have mercy. So in other words, y'all, they didn't get the only chance to walk with him. They didn't. He wasn't just an example for them. We have the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Spirit is a set-apart spirit.
Yep.
So we too walk with Jesus. Why do you think the Bible says the same mind that he had in him we should have in us? How can we get that mindset? It's not always found in the Bible. Yes, you can open it and read it. Some people say they go from Genesis to Revelation in a year. What to do? Does that make you saved?
Nope.
No.
Huh? What's more important, you reading the Bible or you being an example of the Bible?
Be an example.
So here's the deal. They walked with him, and they was able to recognize anything that wasn't him. Oh, my. So if God be in you, how is it that you don't recognize the examples that are not of God? Uh-oh.
Amen.
Yes. Hold on. Let me say this again. If God be in you, not even walking with you, but if God be in you, the Bible says, how can two walk together lest they be in agreement? If God be in you, you agree with the word of God. You say you love him as if the love part is emotional. That's our emotional stance, because then we make excuses after the word love. But if you love God in the correct sense, meaning you obey God because he's our master, that means I work for him, you should be able to check people when, okay, I hear Mr. Carl, they're talking the word of God, but that ain't the same God that I serve. Uh-oh. Because, see, the disciples barred Peter. What Peter at? Peter cut somebody's ear off who tried to mess with their God. So we know not to cut people's ear off, but you can't even check people because we are so driven by excuses, the same excuses that they come with. So how will we know what an example is if we live our life in excuses? So when people have these little, you know, side stories and I've come a long way and, you know what I'm saying, I'm glad where I'm not where I used to be and type stuff like that, that don't move nobody but you. And your little minions who follow that, who live by that creed, because I don't have time to be talking about where I've come from when my focus is on God. I don't care where I've come from.
Yes.
Y'all don't hear me. See, some of us want moral victories. You can't win a championship off of moral victories. I don't care. That is a setup from Satan because you're too busy. When you say where I've come from, I, me, my, are pride words. That means you are focusing on you and not God. Satan wins.
God brought me out. Come on.
To know my progress. I just know I'm following God. Do I care about my progress? No, I don't. You know when you focus on the phone so much while you're driving, that's why they say don't text and drive. You can travel so far by focusing on the phone. See, when you focus on God, I bet you can travel further than you when you're driving.
Amen.
Come on, examples. When you focus on God, when you focus on the relationship, when you focus on the other person in the relationship, you become a servant. You serve them. You don't even care about your well-being. This is an example.
That's right.
Lord have mercy. Yeah. Y'all not hearing me.
So true.
You can't focus on God and yourself at the same time. Who of us are spiritually cross-eyed? In the spirit, you're perfect, so you can't be cross-eyed.
That's right.
Meaning you can't have one eye on God and you.
Right.
That's right.
Y'all see this?
No, man.
13 Come on. So stop with that foolishness. Stop with that, y'all. I've come a long way. Do you really think it matters how long you've come? That's a moral victory for who? Don't you know there's a lot of people that came a long way in your life and they ain't doing the things that you still won't have a relationship with them? So if that's you, what you think God gonna do? People could come a long way and they still not meet your criteria. Come on, preach to me, somebody.
Tell it.
Have a standard. Come on, preach to me, somebody. And if you have a standard, you know God will have one. Come on, preach to me, somebody. In other words, be the example, not the excuse. Stop looking at yourself and say, where I've come from, and start looking at God, and I don't even care where I come from, but I know when I focus on God, I'm going to go higher than I ever thought I could. In other words, I know I may be scared of heights, but if I'm focused on him, I don't even see myself walking on the water.
All right.
See, Peter got in trouble because Peter started to say, look at where I have come, Jesus. And Satan knew that, so that's why he brought the sun, the waves and the thunder and all that rain. But Satan couldn't do nothing unless God, in other words, God tested his faith and said, I want to see if you can be the example, because you can't be an example unless you have some trials and some tribulations.
All right. Amen.
Y'all caught it?
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Tiana. Thank you, Mr. DJ. This was an awesome call. I want to close y'all with this. This is actually an email that I received that I want to share with everybody. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Listen up. Here's the email, and I just want to share it with everybody, because this is stuff that we have to make sure that we hone in on. Being the example, not the excuse. Okay? The emailer said, I don't know how to word the question. It's somewhat of a statement, though, in regards to seeking God so that all can be granted unto you. I was trying to explain this to someone, why you don't seek your mate, but in the midst of doing God's business, he will send you what he has for you. What is the best way to explain that? Well, I didn't respond in a timely manner, Ms. Tiana. Okay?
Okay.
Who came back and said, that's okay if you can't explain it. I'm still working on it. May not have come out right. I still didn't respond. That's okay if you. But I ain't take it as a challenge. I went on and chilled out. That'd have been old me. I chilled out. But eventually, the next day, I went on and answered. I said, I just gave a scripture, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's all I said.
That's right.
Question came back, Mr. DJ, said, so how do you give someone understanding of finding, how do you give someone understanding of finding or receiving their mate? I replied, you can't give someone understanding. You can only give them God. John 12:32, the Bible says, Mr. DJ said it tonight, lift God up and he does the rest.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
The individual said, okay, thank you. They wasn't done, though. The next day. Hold on. Y'all listen to this. Not the example, not the excuse. The next day, the individual said, I absolutely love your spirit. I don't play games like that because I'm going to keep it spiritual.
Yeah.
See, sometimes people fall in love. Lord have mercy.
Come on.
Sometimes you got to understand, whatever your vice is, Satan will use it, but God allows it so that you can be an example. Because, see, certain things can be flirtatious things. I need y'all to understand that. And it's something about a man, Mr. DJ. Lord, have mercy. When you preach the word of God, Miss Candy, what's that topic? Come on, Miss Candy. What was the topic that we said we was going to do? Miss Candy? Peter?
Yes, sir. I'm here now. The topic was using your leader as a placeholder.
Using your who?
Using your leader as a placeholder. Oh, wow.
Y'all know what she means by that?
Yes, indeed.
Y'all know what she means by that? It's a DJ. As long
yes,
as you're
sir.
A leadership authority and you bring that word, boy, people going to love you.
That's right.
I'm talking about intimate love. I ain't talking about agape love. I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about eidos.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Especially people that's immature, they can lose sight. very quickly.
Right.
Long as you're on their street, that's right.
Because you can, then you start to use your leader as a what, Miss Candy? As a placeholder?
Yes, sir, as a placeholder.
Placeholder. In other words, as long as you love them, you call them. As long as you love them, you're going to church. As long as you love them, you defend them. But as soon as you stop falling out of love with them, no longer will the word of God be valid from their lips.
Right.
Then you. As soon as you know how many people, Miss Tiana, you start doing the word of God, you know how many men gonna run behind you?
Yep.
Strong women know the word of God. Don't you know a lot of times that's a setup from Satan?
Yep. Yes, indeed.
Because you can find yourself compromising with somebody, appeasing them, and misplace God and not being an example.
Huh?
So I didn't address that part of it. Huh? So the individual went on to say, since I didn't address it the next day, they went on to say, you know, when faith is tested, it's not good. When faith is tested, it's not God that's testing it. I mean, God knows us. Why would he test our faith? Now, Mr. DJ, be the example, not the excuse. You got to be mature enough to understand when somebody don't get you to respond one way, they're going to come back down on that other level which I was on, just try and still keep in touch somehow, some way.
That's right.
Boy, y'all got to know probing questions. Probing questions. But you got to keep it simple. Still be the example. Give them exactly what they asked for, nothing more, nothing less.
That's right.
Huh? So this is what I said to that question. I said God does test our faith, not so that he would know what we are, but more importantly, so that we will know what we are. Self-righteous individuals don't think that their faith needs to be tested. Read James 1, 2 through 4, and you'll see that testing our faith produces endurance.
Come on.
Okay. The individual went on to say, I understand that. Makes sense. Then the individual went on to say, that's why walking in faith is never easy. Oh. And this is my response. I say the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Come on.
It's easier to walk in faith when individuals are in the spirit. It's difficult, Mr. DJ, when they are when they operate in the flesh. Matthew 11 and 30 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Meaning doing it his way, spiritually, is easy. He is perfect and he can't lie. Therefore, to believe is hard is to either not trust him or that you're walking in the flesh. And I heard nothing else from that individual.
That's right.
You know why? Here goes the example. That example wasn't to put that individual down, but it was to hold that individual accountable for the word that you know. And I'm going to challenge you, because when you say what God said, this is why I said either, you calling him a lie? Did y'all catch that part? I said either. Therefore, I said, and God cannot lie. He's perfect. Therefore, to believe that living a life of Christ is hard is to either, one, not trust him, or two, that you're walking in the flesh.
Cool.
Which one is it? So when we say it's hard to live for God, either one, you're calling God a lie by not trusting his word, because he said my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if he says easy, why are you saying it's hard? Or number two, you're not even walking in faith right now. You operating in your flesh. Which one is it? Now here's the thing, Mr. DJ, because he just gave the question was posed. When you say, because most people are going to say, I trust God, because we know that's a no-no, that's blasphemy from our definition, Miss Tiana. So what we'll say is we'll take the lesser of the two. Huh? We'll take the lesser of the two. That's why we voted for Hillary. We'll take the lesser of the two. We'll do something like this. Watch this. Left of two of you. So we'll say, well, I was just operating in the flesh, not the spirit. But what you don't understand is you also spewed out negative examples to other people who now repeat what you have said. That's why so many people on the face of this earth who are not God-led say it's hard to live from God. Who did you get that from? So now this is why the negative example has to be replaced. You better go back and correct your negativity.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Do y'all see it?
Yes.
Come on, everybody. You know why it's so easy? Be the example, not the excuse. You know why it's so easy for so much stuff to go on again in the African-American community, especially against African-American men? You know why? Y'all want to be honest? Let's be honest. Women, we tear them down so much, don't we? It's easy for somebody else to do it. Come on, let's go ahead and pray, Mr. DJ.
Yes, bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you at the close of another SMB Learning Center, Father. We want to say thank you, Father. Thank you simply for just being you, God. We come to you humbly and ask for forgiveness and blessings. And, Father, please let something be said or shared to help us grow, Father. Help us to stay on the path and to bring others to you, Father. We ask these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Y'all have a great night. Y'all have a great night. And that's no knock on nobody, what I said at the closure, but it's true. And I know the excuse, Lord, ain't God good, Mr. DJ, will always be see the excuse, but what is the example? Because the example says, consider yourselves, let him without sin, come on, cast the first stone. And don't you say what they deserve when you deserve something too.
Come on.
Also, Mr. Carr, the excuse is what they say. The example is what the Bible says. When you were talking in that and everything that you answered those questions, you gave him a reading assignment. So if he was either going to do one or two things, go back and read or not read. And that's how the Bible is. Either you believe or you don't believe. And that's what messes us up a lot of times when you answer people with fact, not opinion, but fact.
That's right.
That's what you believe, and that's written right there. Then it is what it is. I mean, you can't stray away from that. You can guess and try to play around with that all day long, but that's just the same way with Jesus was answering people who asked him questions, and
that's
some
right.
of it was up to no good. He just strictly went by the book and said what thus says his Father. So, like I said, when you make an excuse, that's what they said. You know, oftentimes when people talk to you, they say, well, you know, they said this. And they say, who's they? But then when you come back and reply and say, no, the Bible said this. Luke, this, and this says this. First Samuel, this, and that. That is it right there most of the time.
Mr. DJ, two things going on what you said, okay? When you say they also includes the individual who's saying it. Okay.
Exactly.
Watch this. I'm serious, y'all. People, be an example and not an excuse. Even when you say, well, it's in the Bible, show me in the Bible. When you get to hurdle one and you show them in the Bible, but your interpretation, the devil will always try and counter with excuses. I'm serious. Correction, it wasn't the guy, it was a woman, because it had a guy inbox me talking about, I love your spirit. I've been like, bro, let me show you what I don't do. It's Sodom and Gomorrah. See, I'm down here in the lion's den, because, see, I don't play. No. I just wanted to clarify that there was a female, there was no man. Because that conversation, I'd had to clean that brother up real quick first and foremost. Okay? Because although I love everybody, you know, homophobic stuff, I don't play with the sin. I just wanted to clear that up. Okay.
Yes,
now, with that being said, Mr. DJ just made a great, valid point. Okay, excuses is what is man-made. Man-made. I saw a post today, and it said excuses are merely lies that we tell ourselves.
That's right.
Yes.
Huh? Excuses are lies that we tell ourselves, and what people say, everybody got one, right?
That's right.
Right. So we all have excuses. It's whether you choose to live by your excuse or not. We all have excuses. Each and every last one of us on this phone have an excuse. But the thing is, would that excuse, would it be your steering wheel? Or do you decide to put it and throw it out your window? Okay? Because we all can make excuses. But wouldn't it be much easier just to make an example?
Yes.
I know making an example is hard. See, making an example requires work. Making an excuse just requires a thought. Who can be the most creative? That's it.
All right.
That's it. And we tend to be lazy, right? So we always want to be creative with our excuse. But see, when you make an example, go ahead and put in that work. And then I don't need to talk.
Come on,
that's right. I don't need to talk, right? Y'all see it?
Hmm? Yes, sir.
Your stuff's for you, right? Your example speaks for you, right? You should be found guilty of living a life of God. Okay? Y'all have a great night. Okay? We will catch y'all on Wednesday. We have Bible study. Okay?
Right.
Bible study. Make sure y'all call in. And make sure y'all go check us out on SundayMorningBreakfast.org and check us out on Facebook, too. All right? Y'all have a great night. Mr. DJ will be at the Super Bowl. Mr. DJ, you're going to be an honoree?
So I'm an honoree, but they ain't send me no ticket. I'm waiting on Miss Tiana to give me that Texas hooked up.
Y'all already know Mr. DJ about tomorrow. We'll start on that. Oh. Mr. DJ gonna be on the Super Bowl commercial. If y'all see him kicking the field goal, y'all know what time it is. All right, y'all have a great night. We'll see y'all on Wednesday.
All right. Good night.
Good night.